Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're here. 31 other teams are here getting a look into deep evaluation of the more than 300 prospects eligible for this year's draft. Head coach Sean McDermott met with the media here in Indianapolis today. The Bills have added Dennis Locke to the staff as director of football research and strategy. Came from the Miami Dolphins, where he spent the last 4 years as director of analytics there. Dennis Locke joins the newly formed analytics department for the Buffalo Bills. Bills GM Brandon Bean will hold a news conference here in Indy tomorrow. He'll be on our show tomorrow as well at 1 p.m. And the combine on-field workouts start Friday right across the street here in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. So that's what's going on with the Bills today. But there's a lot going on with other teams. The Eagles have announced that they will not put the franchise tag on quarterback Nick Foles. They will allow him to become an unrestricted free agent in 2 weeks when the new league year begins. Foles' announcement ends months of speculation as to what the Eagles' plans might be. Foles, of course, was the most valuable player in Super Bowl 52. Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback, according to his general manager, new Oakland Raiders general manager Mike Mayock. He says, I think Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback, a good young quarterback. We think he's going to be with us for a long time. Dallas Cowboys have lost defensive end Randy Gregory again to suspension, suspended indefinitely yesterday by the league for violating the substance abuse policy. Sabres off today after a couple of losses in a row. Last night the Sabres lost to the Flyers 5-2 at Wells Fargo Center. A goal from Jack Eichel, a goal from Kerry Mittelstadt. Buffalo returns to practice tomorrow. On Friday, they are home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. In college basketball, a couple of local teams in action. Canisius and Niagara play the rematch of their earlier game. That's coming up tonight at 7:30 at the Kessler Center in downtown Buffalo. Griff's playing the final two games of their season at home. And St. Bonaventure home tonight, 7:30 at the Riley Center against Duquesne. The Bonnies begin a four-game stretch when they host Duquesne tonight. And that is the update from the NFL Scouting Combine.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, their Combine coverage presented by Kaleida Health, the NFL Scouting Combine, and joined right now by NFL Draft Analyst for TheAthletic.com, Dane Brugler. Dane, it's good to see you. We've had you on the show before, always on the phone. It's good to see you face-to-face.
It's good to see you, too. Wasn't hard to find you. You guys got a great setup here.
Thank you. Yeah, we like it here.
Walked right in and knew exactly where you were.
That's right. We put our little backdrop as on a billboard up, and we are easy to find. I was shocked.
Shocked that Steve found us.
Yeah, well, listen, 5 minutes before Super Bowl, we were on the back 40. We were tucked away in a corner. Yeah. But this is better.
Hey, Dane, you wrote, I read it Monday, the off day. Steve and I were off Monday, kind of a comprehensive overlook at what to expect here this week. And what do you think is the general theme of this year's combine in terms of the talent available here and the players that might be in the spotlight here today? What do you see coming to us this week?
Well, like every year, it's about the medicals, really. I mean, that's the reason the combine exists. Back in the 80s, that's when it was created, so there was one central location to streamline these medical evaluations. These kids weren't flying from city to city getting the same exams. That way, teams, all 32 teams, have a chance to be here in Indianapolis and have their own medical staffs and doctors look at these players, because a lot of them have question marks. It starts at the top with Nick Bosa, who, in my opinion, is the best player in this draft. But he missed most of his junior year with he had an abdominal groin issue. He actually hurt it in August, and he tried to play through it in the TCU game in September. It was too much. Had surgery, and he's been healthy since about December. So he's been running. He's going to be a full workout here. But the medical evaluation, how will that go with teams? You know, it's very thorough. Some players will tell you too thorough. But, you know, that he's a number one pick type of player, and so does the medicals match up with that? If there's any questions, then all of a sudden maybe he doesn't go number one, and you start talking about him fallen a little bit. So the medicals would be paramount for a lot of these players, started with Nick Bosa.
Yeah, Nick Bosa. He also had the ACL tear senior in high school, senior year of high school. So he's got kind of that history to go along with it.
His family, too.
Right.
Joey.
Exactly.
He's missed some time. And his father was a first-round pick in 1987, only played 2 years because he was hurt.
Right. So it's,
you know.
And believe me, that if you're going to invest a number one overall pick on a guy, even if he is really great, if you don't get that production, the Bills fan, we just had a conversation about Sammy Watkins. You couldn't get him on the field on a consistent basis. That's going to be enormous. Plus, guys, we're going to get right to it. I mean, Kyler Murray's coming in, and people want to know how tall that guy is and how much he weighs.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a position that's really good. He's been really productive at Oklahoma, very productive, won the Heisman Trophy. But he's got some question marks as well that need to be answered this week.
Yeah, and, you know, the medicals are paramount. But I'd say number two, in terms of importance of what happens here at the Combine, is the interview process. And for Kyler Murray, this will really be, you know, his first interaction with head coaches and GMs. And how does that interview process go? They're going to grill him pretty hard on the baseball issue. How much does he love football? You know, there's a lot of things during the interview process that these teams are going to want to know, and they're not going to take it lightly on him. And so we'll see. You know, Kyler Murray on Radio Row at Super Bowl, it was not the best performance for him. So hopefully that turns out to be a positive. He learns from that, and he's better in this type of setting when he gets to talk to these teams and answer all those questions. But, yeah, you mentioned the measurements. What exactly does he come in at? Is he 5'9.5"? Is he, you know, where exactly is he? And then I think more important than the height is the build. And what does his body look like? You know, we compare him to some of the other shorter quarterbacks like a Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, a Drew Brees. Those guys are all 215 plus. If he comes in at 195 pounds, that's a 20-pound difference.
Yeah, he's not the same as them.
Exactly. And he stayed healthy in college, but I don't know. You watch him against the Big 12, and, you know, he played behind the best offensive line in college football. He didn't take a ton of hits. Now, in the Orange Bowl against Alabama, he took a few licks, and he bounced back. But can he do that for a 16-game schedule? That'll be one of the big questions with Kyler Murray. And so we haven't heard exactly if he's going to throw or run yet. I don't expect him to. I'm sure he's kind of bulking up, having a few extra meals to get that weight above 200 pounds, and then he'll run or throw at the pro day. So we don't know for sure yet what he's going to do, but the measurements will be step one for him here at the Combine.
Yeah. Does Kyler Murray come in with a presumption of doubt when it comes to interviews because of, I guess, he waffled on his baseball commitment? Is that part of it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you come in, I mean, whether you've met Kyler Murray or not, you're going to enter an interview process or when you meet him with some preconceived notions. But, you know, first impressions are everything. When you first meet the young man and understand, you know, what he's all about and kind of, you know, these interviews, there's a formal process and there's an informal process. Each team gets 60 15-minute interviews, formal interviews to have. And so in 15 minutes, that's not a heck of a long time. So you need to get straight to it and understand who this player is all about. And so they're going to hit him pretty hard with the tough questions. And, you know, they have psychologists in the room doing these things, along with the head coach and the general manager and all the head decision makers. It's going to be interesting to see how he responds to some of these questions they're going to ask him and how teams evaluate his answers.
Well, one of the things that happens every combine is that somebody comes from off the radar to the middle of the center of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea who that could be this time?
Yeah, we always do. And a lot of time it revolves around their workouts. And, you know, I think, not that he's off the radar or anything, but Rashawn Gary from Michigan is going to blow up the combine. I mean, he's 280 pounds, and he's going to run, you know, a sub 6.93 cone, has a chance to get in the 4.6s in the 40-yard dash. This is a guy who was one of the top recruits out of high school. The hype was a little too much. He didn't live up to that at Michigan in terms of production, but the traits are outstanding. And that's what NFL teams draft. They draft traits, not production. And so I think Rashawn Gary has a chance to create a lot of buzz for himself this week. We'll see, you know, in terms of the 40-yard dash, who puts their name up there in the 4.3, guys like Andy Isabella from UMass. I think he'll be up there. Mecole Hardman from Georgia. And a couple of Ohio State guys. Kendall Sheffield, a corner, who has up and down tape. You know, it's hard to really point to his tape and say, this guy's a top 100 pick. But he's going to go out there and probably run in the 4.3s at 6 foot and look really good doing it. And so I think Kendall Sheffield from Ohio State is one of those names that will be rising after we leave the combine.
Talking with Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for TheAthletic.com. I want to ask you about a guy that you mentioned in your preview of the combine, wide receiver who had been linked to the Bills in some mock drafts, from Ole Miss, DK Metcalf. You talk about what a tremendous physical specimen he is. That'll get people's attention.
I'd be taking shirtless pictures too if I were DK Metcalf. Right. I mean, goodness, that's. But it'll be interesting here because it's great that he looks like that. But and he'll come in probably 6'4", 230, just remarkable size. But when he tests, how does that translate? And I think straight line 40-yard dash, he'll be pretty ridiculous. He'll probably run the 4.4s. But the three cone, the short shuttles, some of the change of direction drills, where if you're a stiff athlete, you can't escape those drills. It's going to show in the time, and you're going to be able to see it. So how does he do when he's maneuvering? Because I'd rather have my wide receiver be a fluid athlete rather than a rocked-up athlete. I mean, it's great that he has a size, but on tape, he doesn't always play up to that size. And, you know, I need to see him become a better route runner. And so these drills will be important for him.
And he's also had an injury issue. He's, you know, he had spinal surgery this last year. It was a neck injury. It wasn't like it was non-spinal issue, but it was a neck injury.
Right.
And he's struggled with – he had a broken left leg that, you know, I mean, this is –
season ended, yeah.
Yeah.
3 years at Ole Miss. Two of them ended in a, you know, an injury. So that's definitely something that will play a part with the medical portion for him. I've been told he's fully cleared, everything should be fine, but, you know, you just never know with these medical evaluations how thorough they are, and how a lot of teams do it is they have a grade 1 through 5. If you're a 1, that's not, you know, that's, you're okay, you're good. If you're a 4 or 5, you might be off draft boards because that says, you know, long-term we're worried about you. I remember a couple years ago, a guy like Jay Ajayi from Boise State, running back, was a second-round pick, top 50 guy. Comes to the combine, they find a knee issue, they're worried long term. This, you know, a ticking time bomb. He falls to the 5th round, and you know, the Dolphins get good value for him at that point. But you know, it's this medical evaluation is definitely a big part of this process.
Hey, Danny, I want to ask you about a guy, one of my favorites from the Senior Bowl a month ago, Montez Sweat, who I thought was dominant at times in Senior Bowl workouts. But he will have some questions to answer, I guess, as you point out, when he gets to the interview stage this week, right?
Yeah, he started at Michigan State as a tight end, actually, and he was in the doghouse basically his entire career there. Only lasted 2 years before it was kind of a mutual parting of the ways. He goes to the JUCO level and then goes to Mississippi State, and you talk to people at Mississippi State, they say nothing but glowing things about him. And so I think that will, you know, play in his favor, obviously. But, you know, is it just youthful immaturity, you know, when he was 18, 19 years old, or is there more to it? I think he crushed it, like you said, at the Senior Bowl. He was great. He interviewed well from what teams told me. So I think he's in good position to, you know, you see the tape, you see the ability. He looks like a first-round player. And as long as you're comfortable with the person, I think you're comfortable taking him in the top 20, top 25. And I think so far he's done a good job of showing that, you know, you're not going to have to worry about me away from the field.
Yeah, he has one of those issues in the past that it looks like he got around and decided he was going to be a different guy and had some things to learn that he learned, as you'd like to hope these guys do learn. You go to college and, you know, your first year or two of college, there may be one or two people around the country that have struggled in their first year or so of college. But
maybe a few. No one here, though, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. None of us. Yeah. None of us, obviously. But, you know, he seems to have straightened it out, this guy Montez Sweat, and it'll be – that's exactly what you said. The interview process here, you know, it's more important for him than maybe the physical – the measurement kind of thing.
That's
because
it.
He's shown up at the Senior Bowl.
And unfortunately, we won't get to, you know, his teammate, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, won't be here to go through that interview process because of his background stuff going on. So it's, you know, unfortunately, those guys don't get a chance to come here, and it's going to put more work on the teams to go find out more about these players that have some of the background issues that you worry about.
Right.
Okay, if I bounce around a couple of names that you wrote about in your preview piece, and you mentioned Andy Isabella a moment ago, wide receiver from UMass, who, again, I saw and watched closely at the Senior Bowl. And I have to say my impression was, oh, he could be a nice player. But it never got much beyond nice. And I think it has something to do with his stature. You know, he's a slot guy, and that's probably it, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I hate to just completely say he's slot only, but I think that's what he does best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has a speed where he could play on the outside and, you know, get vertical and get out of his – he's so quick in and out of his routes. But in order to maximize what he does best, I think, yeah, there's no question he's best in the slot. The speed, the quickness. Because, you know, a lot of these – you know, some of these slot guys get pegged as their slot because they're quick but not fast. Andy Isabella is both quick and he's fast. Going back to his track days in high school, he beat Denzel Ward in, I think it was 200 meters in a high school regional. So, and Denzel Ward ran a 4.32 at the combine last year, cornerback from Ohio State, 4th overall pick to the Browns. So we know he's going to test really well. He might get in the 4.3s, but you know, at the Senior Bowl, a little inconsistent on throws away from his body because he is such a smaller target. It makes it a little tougher on the quarterbacks. How does he do in the gauntlet here? And how does he do in the pass receiving drills, tracking the ball over his shoulder? The tape's awesome. You throw on the tape against Georgia at Sanford Stadium. He had 15 catches. One player in the history of Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, one opponent, I should say, had 15 catches. That's Andy Isabella. So, I mean, he has the production that you want, the traits, a lot of it athletic. You like what you see. It's just you have to get over the size. And, you know, I think he's a perfect slot receiver in the NFL. He's going to be a guy that teams talk about in the third round.
What's your opinion on guys and the risk coming to the combine? A lot of guys just say, you know what, I'm not going to throw. I'm going to wait for my pro day, or I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let you measure me, or what. You know, what's your opinion on guys who seemingly are hiding something, or maybe say, look at the tape, and that's the guy I am?
I think there's risk in both ways, because you could come here, work out, kill it, and you're good. You don't even have to throw at your pro day if you don't want to, because you had such a strong performance here. On the flip side, if you choose not to, well, then you're limiting yourself to one opportunity, and that's a pro day. And put a little more pressure on yourself, because if you don't look great at that pro day, or say in Sam Darnold's case, where his pro day last year, it was a monsoon. It was just pouring. And so, you know, what do you, you're left with just that one opportunity, and it might not work out best for you long term. So, there's pros and cons to each. I certainly understand that, you know, Kyler Murray, we'll see what he does. Dwayne Haskins is supposed to throw. From an evaluator standpoint, it's very useful to see these guys one after the other throw, just to see how the ball pops off their hand. Not so much distance, but just velocity. And so if Kyler Murray, hopefully he decides to throw, I'd be surprised if he did, honestly. And part of it's because it was just, a week or two ago he decided he was going to be full football. I don't know if he's training-wise ready to take on that. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there will be some guys who choose not to run the 40-yard dash. Some guys will choose not to do some of these drills because they don't feel ready. And instead of putting up a bad number, they want more training, and they'll do it at the pro day. But, you know, for some guys, it makes sense to try and run and hide from it. But not everyone. For a lot of these guys, it's a chance to show out. You know, a lot of these athletes, it's a chance to show that, you know, my tape might be up and down, but here, I'm an elite athlete, and this is why you should draft me.
Hey, Dane, Steve and I were talking about kind of the lukewarm endorsement that Josh Rosen got from the Cardinals today about he's our guy for now. Are we looking at posturing by the Cardinals, or would they consider a quarterback at number one? Or are they trying to generate trade interest for
If you're
spot?
Eliminating Kyler Murray at number one, I think you're wrong.
Really?
I don't think you should.
Because he deserves it, or because people get desperate?
No, I think just when you look at the Cardinals and the way they're set up with Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, Cliff's going to want his guy, and I think with Kyler Murray it makes a lot of sense. Josh Rosen, it's just, we go back to last year, and there was a reason he was the fourth quarterback drafted. You know, there was a reason why there were really, realistically, only three or four teams that were really in on Josh Rosen in the first round. The Cardinals this year, the season was below average. Now, it wasn't all Josh Rosen. The supporting cast, the offensive line, the defense, he didn't receive a lot of help, and the head coach was fired. That tells us something right there. So, but with Josh Rosen this year, it's I would not be surprised at all, I'll say that, if the Cardinals decide to go in a different direction. And it'd be fascinating if Josh Rosen all of a sudden is on the open market. Whew. And I'm not convinced that the Cardinals would get a first-round pick for him.
Yeah.
You know, just because, like I said, there were only three or four teams that were realistically in on Josh Rosen. So it's, I tell you what, the Cardinals, I think part of it is you want to keep your options open. You have the number one pick. Keep your options open. You know, if you, part of it's drumming up interest. Part of it is, honestly, the NFL told them not to, you know, keep your options open. That way, you know, in terms of drumming up interest for the draft in general, quarterback's an option. But I think it is realistic that there is a possibility that Kyler Murray, a realistic possibility, Kyler Murray is in play at number one.
Wow. In your most recent mock draft, you had the Bills at number nine going with defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got there and tell us what you know about Jeffrey Simmons.
Well, and this was before his ACL tear during training, so that's another level to the Simmons evaluation. And you know, this Buffalo organization, I know, you know, they pride themselves on bringing in high character guys. Not, you know, and Simmons doesn't really line up
fit
with that.
Yeah,
but it's a hard evaluation because when you talk to people at Mississippi State, they glow about him, and he got into an incident before he enrolled at Mississippi State. It was his senior year of high school, and it was a family issue, and he jumped in just trying to protect his family. The video's terrible. Not going to in any way sugarcoat it or say he was justified, but you know, it's just it's hard to identify an 18-year-old with this and then just let it follow him the rest of his life. I don't know. I think when you the more digging you do, the more positive endorsements you receive about Jeffrey Simmons. And if, like I said, unfortunately, he won't be here because of that incident. But as a football player, he's one of the top five players in this draft, top 10 players in this draft. The ACL tear, we'll see how that affects him as well, how much that drops him. I still think he goes in the first round. Probably not in the top 10 anymore, though.
Last thing I have for you, Dane, you, and I don't know when the post went up, but you put up a post, had to be last night or today, about the different athletic testing that goes on here. 40-yard dash, you know, three-cone drill, et cetera. Fascinating. I didn't get to finish it because when did it go up? Today? Yesterday?
This morning.
This morning. Yeah. Okay. What do you think of all the tests they do? Is there one test that you think is closest to identifying who can play in the NFL? What's the thing that folks should watch this weekend if they're watching the combine?
I think it depends on the position. You know, there are a lot of drills that are universal. The 10-yard split with the 40-yard dash, like that's universal. I want to see how the guy that reaction quickness right off the line. The three-cone drill, like I mentioned before, if you're a stiff athlete, you're not escaping the three-cone drill with a positive number or looking good. That's both, you know, change of direction and balance to see how you can do that. The 40-yard dash, it's important, I think, especially for wide receivers, defensive backs, to see that straight line speed. But, you know, I was talking to a scout about this. He said that, like, he doesn't, you know, the 40-yard dash isn't a big deal for him anymore because it's more about technique with these guys than speed. You know, the track guys will do really well because they know, you know, the three-point stance and the get-off and, you know, because that's everything. If you have just a little bit of your technique off in the 40-yard dash, that affects your final number in a big way. So field fast, functional speed means a lot more. But it depends on the position, but I think the three-cone drill above all, it tells me a lot more than, you know, the data, you know, talking to teams about the broad jump, the data doesn't support the broad jump. The bench press, it tells you more about weight room strength and, you know, how much of these kids work, and more so than actual NFL functional strength. But I think above all, three-cone drill and then the 40-yard dash, the 10-yard split, especially for those wide receiver, defensive back, skill positions, that's where it really matters.
Good way to watch this week.
Yeah.
Dane, thanks.
Enjoy it, guys.
Appreciate you coming by. Thanks,
guys.
Dane Brugler is NFL draft analyst for TheAthletic.com. Great post, a couple of great posts, an overview of the combine, and, of course, the latest one on the athletic testing that goes on here. Thanks, Dane. Steve and I coming back with more. You're welcome to join us, 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health from the Scouting Combine. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. We're at the Combine. One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health from the NFL Scouting Combine. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Good show coming up tomorrow as well. Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, will join us. Matt Bowen from NFL Matchup on ESPN going to be with us. Matt Miller will join us tomorrow, right? Draft expert. Who else? Charles Davis, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. That's a heck of a show. If I wasn't doing this show.
That's a heck of a show that we're going to do someday.
We haven't even done yet.
We're going to do someday. Know. Yeah,
we're going to do it tomorrow. A heck of a show. I'd watch that show. I would make plans right now, call in sick, stay home, and watch that show because we got some combine stuff coming up tomorrow. By the way, Dane Brugler, who we've had on the show before, outstanding. And I think it's important to note this. And, you know, you get the interest in the combine, as we know, we've talked about it. It's the number one sports television show this month in America, more than the NBA, more than the NHL.
The Combine.
Heck yeah.
Now here we are, Murph,
but
doing the number one radio show in the whole world.
It's also the target of a lot of snark, like, oh, this is the underwear Olympics. No, who cares how that guy runs. But when you sit and talk to Dane Brugler, and we had a brief conversation with him as he just left us, you realize that even though it might not be meaningful to everybody, important to everybody, to the people whose job it is to fill out these rosters and to make good decisions, it's critically important what goes on here, how they test out, how their medicals look, how the interviews go, how they test out on the field, what their measurements are. It matters. It's not just, oh, it's the underwear Olympics, who cares? No, it matters in the NFL world.
The interesting thing about it, too, is you get these – somebody drafts these guys, and they stink, right?
They make mistakes.
I mean, I'm going to exaggerate everything to make this point. You draft this guy, you do all this evaluation, he comes in, and he can't play. Like, what are you doing? And then you get in, then you find out that somebody in the room, you know, they had this debate. Is it this guy or is it this guy on draft day? Because that's what you're doing. You're trying to do what we do every day. And fans do this every day. They call in our show and we have discussions about it. Is this guard or this tackle more important than this slot receiver? Or is this guy, a guard or tackle or wide receiver or this rookie, going to be better than this backup running back? Who do you want to draft? You want to get this guy or that guy? You try and pick and categorize because they play different positions, and what role they're going to be asked to play may be exaggerated for the running back and diminished for the slot receiver or vice versa. So you're trying to compare all these things and look into the future and say, which one of these guys on our team is going to play better and which one should we draft right now? And you end up picking the wrong guy. The right guy, the wrong guy wins the debate. The wrong guy in the room, in the draft room, wins the debate. And it doesn't mean he's, like, terrible. It just means he thought the kid was going to play better than he did. Or
sometimes that guy's the owner.
Yeah.
And he always wins the debate.
Right?
He always wins.
And the smart argument. Owners, you know, they listen to the smart guy. Everybody misses.
Yeah.
Every single general manager has missed. Every head coach has missed. Every scout has missed. Every owner has missed. And they've also, every head coach, every owner, every general manager has also gotten it right.
Yeah.
Every scout's gotten it right. Every scout has stood on the table and said, I think they should draft this guy. And they, no, he's not that good. He's going to stink. And a guy turns out to be Jerry Rice. You know? This scout is over here across the world in a different division, in a different conference going, I told them to take Jerry Rice, and they would not listen to me. Right?
You're right.
They're all like that.
Yeah.
And that's why this
that's why it's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And it is underwear Olympics, right? It is, you know, junior Olympics where these guys get out there and they run around and there's nobody beating him up.
It's not football.
The quarterback drops back and he can throw and he doesn't have anybody in his – he doesn't have a, you know, guy coming down his grill and he's got to get rid of this pass and then take a hit and know it. You know, that none of that happens here and you don't know.
It's not football. But it's a measurement of how football players might turn out.
It's
if you throw it in with their production in college and their temperament, their personality – all the other things, if you make it part of the equation, then you can look at this.
It's the weirdest thing. It's a test of all the separate, isolated characteristics that you look for in the perfect football player. And nobody aces the test. Some guys get really great grades, and they can't play, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like school.
Yeah.
You know, you get great, and then you look at a guy and they're like, what are you doing? You know, you don't even zip your coat right, right? I mean, you got guys like that. The guy gets an A+. He's aces the test, and he's got his shirt on backwards.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, right? Guys like that. You draft the guy that kills it at the combine, and he can't play.
Yeah.
He can't remember where to line up.
Yeah.
I was like, ah. Oh.
Really good story Vic Carucci wrote in the Buffalo News Sunday about Mike Mamula, who's probably the most famous example of a combine success story who couldn't help the Philadelphia Eagles for a variety of reasons. But he tore it up here at the combine, trained for the combine, trained to excel in the combine workouts, did all of the above, worked himself into a first-round pick, and never really was a big contributor for the Eagles. Anyway,
we're talking about receivers. It's going to happen this week, too.
Dane Brugler talked about receivers. He talked about how teams look for traits. We're asking you to identify the traits that are important for the Bills receivers that they would draft here. If the Twitter poll, if the Bills are to draft a wide receiver, what quality is most important in their evaluation? You can give us a call to discuss, 803-0550, or from outside Buffalo toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Or you can vote on our Twitter poll or send in a tweet. Right now, 46% of you say hands are the number one trait. That's the quality most important in the Bills evaluation of receivers' hands. 22% say speed. 21% say size, measurables, and 11% say something else. Let's hear from you. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
You got from the
Twitter
tweet sheet, Daniel Burr says, I choose other because I think we need a receiver who can just get open. One with quickness, one that is shifty, one that can beat a press coverage and be able to settle down in a zone. Give Josh a guy who will be open for those short to intermediate passes. You need a guy who's an athlete. You need a guy who can go sideways and make the catch and be tough down inside. You're right. I agree with you. The thing about what we see, you got to get a guy who's going to make the players around him, in this case for a receiver, Josh Allen. You need a guy that's going to make Josh Allen better. You know, that's the real question, right? I mean, right, Murph?
Sure.
You need a guy that's going to make Josh better. And whatever that's going to take is the exact guy you want to draft. Whether he's a big target, fast target, you know, obviously he's going to have to catch at some level. But, you know, you need a guy that can get open and make Josh happy and confident he's going to complete the pass.
From Brian Cook on the tweet sheet, he says, a wide receiver with good hands expands his catch radius and will allow for catches in otherwise tight or non-existent windows. He's open even when he's not. It's even more important with a hard-throwing guy, so there are fewer interceptions from tip balls. Speed is a very close second. Some good points there. And I think a lot about this guy. And a lot of people, I'm going back to Andy Isabella, the diminutive wide receiver from UMass, who we talked to Dane Brugler about. And I watched him at the Senior Bowl and thought, okay, I could see, you know, I could see him as a slot guy. Maybe he'll be a productive NFL guy. But I also thought with Josh and Josh Allen's kind of well-documented accuracy issues, whether they're real or not, you don't want a guy who's got short arms, right? You don't want a small guy. You want a guy with range, right? You want a big guy. And not to say that Andy Isabella wouldn't work for Josh Allen, but I just think that's not exactly what the Bills are looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need a guy that's going to be able to win physically. And
I don't know that he's that guy. He's fast.
Right. One of these guys, and some people say you got to win with speed. Yeah, but like I said earlier in the show, NFL wide receiver is not about outrunning people. And I don't care how fast the guy is. It's more than that. You have to be able to run fast, yeah, but you're never going to outrun everybody in the National Football League. When you put pads and helmets on, you use press coverage and you use zone coverage, and you got to take a stem on the release, and you're never running in a straight line. You're always weaving and bobbing. Speed is okay, but you're never going to outrun people in the NFL. But what you have to do as a wide receiver is fool them. You have to fool the defender into thinking you're going to do something that you're not. Your route is run with the techniques they teach you to run in the NFL. You think you show the out route, and when he breaks on the out route, you're running the curl or the in route or the post. You get him to think he's running a different route. You're running a different route, and he defends the other route when you're actually running a different, you know, something else. That's what being an NFL wide receiver is. And then when you get that separation, you catch the ball. Certainly, you have to have a level of athleticism. That's a given. But getting open in the NFL is about fooling the defender, not outrunning him. And that's some of what we're trying to get at with our Twitter poll.
Here's a call on this topic from Tim in Buffalo. Go ahead, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. First-time caller, long-time watcher. I just go back.
Thanks, Tim.
And when Lou Piccone was our receiver, we used to always go to him. He was a money guy. He'd catch everything. He was a small guy. And I want a big guy. I want a big guy that can fight for the ball. We had Benjamin. Every time they throw him the ball, we needed the catch. He couldn't fight for it. They'd slap it away. I think we need a tough guy.
Yep.
Like, I think Golden Tate would be a great signing. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, certainly Golden Tate. You know, you need, if we're talking about guys in history that you'd like, Anquan Boldin would have been a great guy to have. You know, big, tough guy who's, yeah, in his prime. A fighter for the, a battler for the football. A Golden Tate, you know, Hines Ward kind of guy. One of those guys that's a battler. I don't know that that guy's in this draft. I don't know that Golden Tate is going to be the guy you think he's going to be. He certainly finished up the season with Philadelphia, and you know, during the middle of the season, it's not going to be the kind of year where you get the full gist of what he can still offer. So I don't know if Golden Tate is going to be spry enough to contribute to an NFL team going forward. If you can get Golden Tate into training camp for the minimum, or for less than, or about the minimum, or thereabouts, if you don't have to break the bank for him, yeah, sure, give the guy a shot. But he's got to battle for a spot, and he's got to be that guy. He's got still got to have exactly the characteristics that make him the guy that a guy like Tim wants to see. If he can still do that and can still contribute, yeah, you're exactly right. The guy like Golden Tate is the kind of guy you want.
I think it needs to be said too, Stephen. You may agree or disagree with this. The Bills need more than one here. They need more than one receiver, I think, add to this roster.
Draft and
free agency is available to them. Look, they need a number one receiver, but they also need other receivers. So some of these traits we're talking about, you know, I guess I'm thinking in terms of the guy who would become their go-to guy, their number one. That's what we're looking at here. But maybe they get a guy who's just a speed guy, or a guy who just has good hands, or just runs good routes. That's fine, too, because they need more than one.
Oh, yeah, and I think I think all of us are projecting this that perfect guy to come in and be the starter, be the number one guy that's going to be a, you know, a star for the Buffalo Bills. But there's no doubt that they're going to have 13 wide receivers in training camp this year. 13. That's what the general number. It might be 12, might be 14, might be 11, but it's going to be probably right around 13 guys on the roster for training camp to play wide receiver. And I right now, let me just I'll double check and tell you exactly how many wide receivers they have on their roster. It's not 13, so they're going to fill out the roster. And when they get to that point, you know, that's when they'll stop. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've 8 guys, and the last one on the list is Duke Williams. You know, the
CFL product.
Yeah, Duke Williams, Damari Scott, Cam Phillips, Isaiah McKenzie, Ray-Ray McLeod, Zay Jones, Robert Foster, Victor Bolden Jr., and that's it. So a lot of us, a lot of Bills fans probably don't recognize those names.
They need numbers, and
they need numbers, and they need quality. Yeah. They need guys that are gonna come in and produce. Yeah. I mean, like 85, 90 catches, 1,000 yards, or 100 catches for 1,200 yards. You know, that kind of. We need those kind of numbers. That's what you're looking at for offenses that are in the top 5 to 10 of the league. You need a guy like that on your squad.
Yep. Hey, give us a call if you have thoughts on this. We got a few minutes left here in the show, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Time now for NFL True and False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. A couple of quick issues we put out there. Steve and I vote whether we think it's true or false. True or false, Jerry Hughes was the Bills' most improved player in 2018. That's what Pro Football Focus named him as. Buffalo's most improved player last year. I'm saying false. He was pretty good in 2017. You could argue that you couldn't even argue. He was more productive a couple years ago, too, in terms of number of sacks. He was good last year. He was really good. The Bills' best defensive player, I think, almost without question last year. But most improved? Wouldn't take me too long to come up with a couple of others who I would put in that category. I would not put Jerry Hughes in that category as the most improved.
I think false as well. You could put all the rookies you know, a couple of the rookies that were good. Milano was playing extremely well in his second year into this game. Tremaine Edmonds improved throughout the season. Josh Allen, I mean, he was leaps and bounds above where he started in the regular season. I would agree that. And listen, nobody improved more than Robert Foster before everybody's eyes on the roster. So as a whole, the season, and maybe Jerry Hughes had a little better season in 2018 than he did in 2017. But no, I would say. While he did play better, I think there are other players that were much more improved than he was.
Here is part two of True and False. This comes from Colin Cowherd, apparently said this on Fox Sport. If a trade is available, take Odell Beckham before you take Antonio Brown. You can go first on this. I know what I think.
I see his argument. His argument was that Odell Beckham is doing this with a bad quarterback, a bad offensive line, and he's still producing and doing really good things. While Antonio Brown is doing it with an elite quarterback, best offensive line in football, the best running back in football in the last couple of years, although Le'Veon Bell hasn't been there. So I would say, I'd say false.
Okay. I'd say false, too, and it didn't take me that long to say it. I'll tell you why. I think Antonio Brown remains the best receiver in the game. A really bad ending to the season in Pittsburgh, but I even wonder, I know.
I might say true, though. I might say true, just because Odell Beckham's way younger, isn't he? Way younger.
You know, yeah,
Odell Beckham's like 26, 27,
and
Antonio's 31.
Yeah. So I just think Antonio Brown's better. And Beckham is more spectacular. You're looking for spectacular? Go with Beckham.
Well, he's an attention hound.
Yeah. But
Odell
Beckham's
an attention
player,
hound.
Beckham is more spectacular as an on-field player.
Well, okay.
Yes, he is. And most receivers are.
I might say Odell. I might
hounds.
Take Odell.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's it.
NFL True and False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott joined us today, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and he talked about the Bills' plan for free agency.
At the end of the day, what we're looking for is to add winners to our roster, guys that have a history of winning, guys that have a history of, you name it, staying healthy, a history of success. You know, those are the things that, generally speaking, you look for. Guys that mesh with the guys we already have in that building at One Bills Drive. That building is the most important building, in particular that locker room in that building is the most important room in Western New York, as far as I'm concerned, because of what goes on there, the chemistry, the dynamic that's built in there. That's what the result of that is, what we see on the field. The mental toughness of the individuals that are in there, the mental toughness that we continue to try and build in our culture, that's of the utmost importance.
Very interesting from Sean McDermott. We'll get a chance maybe to talk about that in a minute. Also, Dane Brugler joined us earlier this hour. Dane Brugler from TheAthletic.com, draft expert. We asked him about Kyler Murray and what the quarterback from Oklahoma has to prove and has to demonstrate this week here at the Combine.
You know, the medicals are paramount, but I'd say number two in terms of importance of what happens here at the Combine is the interview process. And for Kyler Murray, this will really be, you know, his first interaction with head coaches and GMs. And how does that interview process go? They're going to grill him pretty hard on the baseball issue. How much does he love football? There's a lot of things during the interview process that these teams are going to want to know, and they're not going to take it lightly on him.
He'll be one of the big stories this week, right? How Kyler Murray does. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. McDermott said something interesting there in that little recap of the show about he considers the Bills locker room the most important building, or the most important room in the building, and maybe the most important room in all of Western New York as far as he's concerned, which is debatable, obviously. But his point was, and we talk about culture all the time, and the question was about free agency. Keeping that free agency, or keeping that culture intact and growing, is to him maybe the paramount concern when it comes to free agency.
I think their belief is, and I agree with it, if the culture is intact and it's everything you want to be, the sum total of everybody in that locker room is going to be way more than the sum of the parts. So even if you're less physically talented, the culture and the atmosphere and the preparation atmosphere during the week is going to make you way better on Sunday than anyone would have thought you could be, given the talent.
Our production assistant today, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, Sam Leck, our producer, Jay Harris. Good show tomorrow here from the Combine. Join us at noon, One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health from the NFL Scouting Combine. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.